Daddy.
Snooks, will you please let me finish writing this letter?
Well, I want to tell you something.
Well, what is it?
You got a new boy in my class.
Fine.
And his name is Wallace.
There is.
So Mikey should call him Wallace.
Perfectly natural. His name is Wallace.
He says it's Wallace.
That's the diminutive. Wally is Wallace, just the same as Luke is Lucas, and Tommy is Thomas.
Is that Jackie?
No.
Why?
I haven't got time to discuss names with you. Let me finish this letter.
Well, it's a little girl from our place, and her name is Margie.
I don't care.
Everybody calls her Margie.
I just told you why. It's intimate. You can call her Margie, too.
Really?
Yes, and you can even call her Mag.
Why?
Because if it's Margaret, it's Mag as well.
It's Mag as well what?
It's Mag as well house party. Go on.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Maxwell House coffee time, and time once again for 30 pleasant minutes with Frank Morgan, Meredith Wilson and his delightful music, Hanley Stafford as Daddy, and Fanny Bryce in her astonishing Muppet characterization, the one and only Baby Snook. Now, here's our master of ceremonies, your host for the evening, John Conte.
Sweet Eloise, sing the birds in the trees. When she is near, you can hear them singing sweet melodies. They're just for my Eloise. Sweet Eloise is a beautiful sight. Oh, Mr. Moon comes around to look at her every night. Her smile's a warm summer breeze, the smile of Eloise. And though there may be clouds in the sky, there's always sunshine deep in her eyes. In case you didn't know, roses grow open someday. They'll be pressed and caressed in her bouquet. Sweet Eloise is so lovely to love. You will agree she's the only girl that you're dreaming of. But you'll be wasting your time, 'cause Eloise is all mine.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, and good evening. Tonight, it's my pleasure to announce that the Women's National Radio Committee has chosen Maxwell House Coffee Time as the number one program in the entertainment division. That's a great honor, ladies, and we'll do our level best to continue to earn such awards.
Jeepers, why'd they pick us, John?
Well, I suppose it's because they like the program, Meredith.
Did they say anything about the music?
Not specifically.
Oh, is it a big committee?
I think the Women's National Radio Committee is considered the highest organization of its type in the country.
And they didn't say anything about my music?
No.
Oh.
Oh! Well, what are you so miffed about, Meredith? They picked the program as the top, didn't they? That must include your music.
Include my music? What else is there on the program?
What else?
Certainly. Take away my music, and what have you got? Frank Morgan, Baby Snooks, Hanley Stafford, Harlow Wilcox, and possibly a famous guest.
Well, what's the matter with me? Don't you consider me insignificant enough to include in that group of non-entities?
Now, don't go getting sore, John. We can't all win the award, you know.
I'm not the one who's getting sore.
Well, if the Women's National Radio Committee liked you the best, they'd have said so. Can I help it if they select my music?
They didn't even mention your music.
Oh. Oh, that's right. I wonder what they see in this program.
Well, Meredith, don't you think it's natural for a group of ladies to enjoy the whims and caprices of a child like Baby Snooks? And wouldn't women be fascinated by the glamorous and romantic adventures of Frank Morgan, even if they're not true?
Not true? Now, wait a minute, John.
Oh, Johnny. Stop it. Listen, Debbie, just dwell on Frank's claim for a second. We all know he's been an actor for at least 25 years.
And what an actor, boy.
All right. So he's good. Nobody denies that. When a man who's still comparatively young also says he was a doctor, a judge, a general, a criminologist, an admiral, a journalist, and a million other things, what can he possibly be?
A liar, a faker, and a charlatan.
Frank!
Hello, fellas. Who lays claim to such an incredible record?
The radio comedian by the name of Frank Morgan.
He does? Well, everybody knows that that disreputable rogue never uttered a truthful word in his whole... Frank Morgan? Yes, Frank Morgan.
Well, the thief even stole my name.
How do they allow such pirates?
Frank, nobody stole your name.
They did.
We were talking about you. There's only one Frank Morgan.
Well, that's something to be grateful for.
Yeah. Although if I were a real radio comedian, I might have said I was twins.
How could you be twins, Mr. Bowles?
Well, my brother has a picture of me when I was two. Oh. Well, it's clean anyhow.
Talking about me, Jockey?
Well, Frank, we've been chosen by the Women's National Radio Committee as the top entertainment program on the air.
A very wise choice and an extremely select organization. You have my compliments, ladies.
And John was saying that none of your adventures are true.
That's an infamous canard. Jockey, have you got the audacity to repeat that statement to my face?
I most certainly have.
Wait a minute. Where's my face? Oh, yeah, here it is. Go on, now repeat that slanderous statement, sir.
Everything you've ever said on this program is a figment of your wild imagination, and you're a liar, Mr. Morgan.
Your shrewd display of politeness in addressing me as Mr. saves you from a sound thrashing. But I'm well aware that you've been trying for months to undermine my reputation for veracity by your constant boring from within.
What about me, Frank?
Well, you're just boring. Go on.
Frank, why do you insist on trying to hoodwink the people every week?
The very fact that you accuse me of being cavalier with the truth shows you don't know my family history.
No?
Have you ever seen the Morgan seal?
You got a seal, Frank?
Certainly.
Can he balance the ball on his nose and...
Oh, Frank! I'm referring to the Morgan coat of arms. The beautiful gold shield, worth its weight in sugar.
Well, what does it look like?
Well, in the lower quarter is an indented fess and a lion rampant. In the upper is a griffin couchant, which represents truth. Truth. The bar sinister and the fleur-de-lis upon a field of azure stands for honesty. All in all, depicting the righteous character of the Morgans for generations. That is the Morgan shield.
How did it get into your family, Frank?
Well, my grandfather stole it from a hock shop. I'm going to report this to the Interceptor Command.
Never mind.
Why?
Suppose you give us all a real treat tonight and tell us the story of your life as it actually was. I think you owe that much to the committee.
Very well. Tonight you shall have the plain, unvarnished truth.
Gee, is this interesting?
Oh. Well, I won't even wait if you're going to begin.
Well, I'm sorry, Frank. But you know, I've never doubted anything you ever said before. Yeah. And if you tell the truth, I won't believe you. So why should you lie to me?
Don't figure that one out.
Well, I know what I mean, and Frank knows what I mean, but it just doesn't mean anything, that's all. I mean, I want to hear about his real adventures, not a lie about telling the truth.
Why must I come here every Thursday and suffer like this?
You've got me, Frank.
Well, that's one reason, and I intend to get rid of you.
Well, go on with your life.
Oh, my life, yes. Well, our family history begins with my ancestor, Dinosaur Morgan, who, together with his faithful wife and little brood...
Little brood?
Yes.
How many children does he have?
12, 13, 16. That's right, 16.
16 altogether?
No, one at a time. These 16 children form the branches of the Morgan family tree.
Plenty branches.
Plenty shady, too. Yeah. I'm going to skip the years down to my 16th birthday.
All right.
I was a man in every sense of the word. And it was then I made up my mind to become a lumberjack. The mere thought of the dangerous trade fascinated me.
Why were you so fascinated about the trade of lumber, Jack?
Jack. Well, on my 16th birthday, I received, among numerous other gifts, a bright new shiny axe. Seizing the weapon, I couldn't resist the impulse to chop down my father's cherry tree.
Gee, this is beginning to sound familiar.
Well, if it's familiar to you, I better change my story. But it's not so astounding, since I had patterned my entire life after the eminent George Washington. I had his every trait and made myself Washington's counterpart.
But Washington never told a lie.
Well?
Oh, no!
No?
No!
Okay. But I did become very proficient with my double-bitted axe and learned to handle it as skillfully as any other boy handled his pocket knife. Playing mumble de peg was no easy task, and most of my childhood playmates to this day walk around with only three toes. My aim was not what it should have been.
Well, did you go right to work in the lumber camp, Sam?
Yes, I know what you mean, Meredith, and I was trying to postpone it. When I was 17 and a half, I headed for the Great Lakes region where I knew I'd find fall tall timber.
Now we're getting to the fall tall stuff.
Yes. I reached a huge camp on the Nantucket River and stood entranced as the log rollers steered millions of trees downstream. I rushed into the commissary to apply for a position and kept my eyes glued on one giant of a man as I sipped my beverage.
Lager?
No, it was bock beer, but that was all.
Oh!
You mean
the man?
Yes, the fella. No, he was the foreman, a big savage, as he's affectionately called by the lumber strips. He gave me employment, and I started work that very day. My job was to locate all the dogwood trees and chop them down.
Well, how do you recognize a dogwood tree?
By its bark. At night, I returned to the foreman's cabin.
Yes.
And was confronted by the most beautiful girl my eyes had ever beheld. She was the foreman's daughter.
Uh-huh.
A look passed between us, but we both knew it was love at first sight.
Oh.
Donald...
Yes, all right.
Fortunately, she didn't take another look. I left the cabin with a new spring in my step and a determination to make myself worthy of the lovely backwoods maiden.
Oh.
Well, I'd heard rumors of a vicious bear that had been prowling the camp and was causing great injury and alarm among the workers. I made up my mind to get that bear and bring her the hive. That night, I started tracking.
Did you have a gun?
I was totally unarmed, but unafraid. I won't recount the gruesome details of the struggle when I finally caught up with the bear, but suffice it to say, I came back to the girl with my bear skin.
I'll bet she went crazy.
I modestly told her I had killed the enormous animal with my bare hands. And what do you think she did?
What?
She kissed my hand.
Is that all?
Well, I was a fool. I should have told her I bit him to death.
Oh, Meredith.
Yes, John.
I don't know why, but a beautiful melody has been ringing in my head all day.
Ringing, eh?
Uh-huh.
Could it have anything to do with bells?
Exactly, the bells of St. Mary. Would you show us how the lovely harmony of that tune is produced?
With pleasure, John. For richness of the melody, will you, well, bells. And for mellowness, we'll add the woodwind. For body, the same. And for vigor, the brasses.
Meredith, you're a dinger of a ringer of those St. Mary's bells. And a beautiful blender of musical notes.
Oh, shucks, fellas, it's easy to know how.
That's what I always say about blending coffee, too. Now, take the Maxwell House people. They sure know how to blend those Highland-grown extra-flavor coffees from Latin America. Here, let me show you. Won't take but a moment.
Okay, Harlow, I'll furnish the bells. You pull them.
And how? Well, for richness, Maxwell House uses choice Madeline. For mellowness, prime Manitoba. For full body, exquisite buckle of mangoes. And for vigorous, winey flavor, Central and South American. Just like that, each of these coffees imparts its own pleasing qualities to the superb Maxwell House blend. A blend so rich, delicious, and satisfying that Maxwell House is the largest selling vacuum-packed coffee in the world. Now, of course, such premium coffees cost us more to buy. But Maxwell House costs you only a fraction of a cent more per cup than the cheapest coffee sold. Next time, why not try a pound of Maxwell House coffee? You'll say it's good. Yes, now more than ever. Good to the last drop. ¶¶ setting in chiffon of If You Are But a Dream, Meredith Wilson and his orchestra.
Excuse me. Hello?
John, listen to this.
I'm listening, Daddy.
I've got an appointment with a government official tonight to show him my new invention.
Your new invention?
Mm-hmm.
What have you invented now?
Sugar.
Sugar? Seems to me I've heard of this stuff before.
Don't be facetious, John. This is vitally important to the whole nation. I've found a new way of getting sugar. From lemons.
Lemons? Are you sure you can do it, Daddy?
Positive. Yesterday, I actually made a whole teaspoonful of sugar. I only use 4 crates of lemons. But you can see it's practical.
Oh, how can it miss? Daddy, don't you think you'd better try it once more before you meet this government man?
That's exactly what I'm doing now. I'm going over the experiment in my lab. I still have half an hour.
Good.
So long, John.
Goodbye, Daddy. Sugar from lemons. I think there's one ingredient he's overlooking. Snook.
Yes, sir. The name of Lancelot B. Higgins will go down in history. The man who made sugar from lemons. Now, let's try once more. Yes, you.
Oh, Daddy.
Snooks, why aren't you sleeping?
I got a funny feeling in my stomach.
Funny feeling?
Yes.
What time did you have supper?
I don't know.
Do you feel like you didn't get enough to eat?
No. I feel like I don't want all I got.
Well, you shouldn't stuff yourself. Drink some water and go to sleep.
I can't sleep.
Why not?
I'm hungry.
You just said you had too much to eat. Now you're hungry.
I'm eating too.
Well, go to sleep.
Why?
Now look here, Snooks. You can't stay in here another second.
What are you doing, Daddy?
If I tell you, will you go right to bed?
Uh-huh.
All right. I suppose you've noticed the sugar bowl has been missing from the table for the last week or so?
Yes.
And you know why the sugar bowl isn't there, of course.
Mommy busted it when she threw it at your lap.
That's not the reason at all. There's a shortage of sugar. This is wartime, and cargo vessels can't bring as much sugar to America because it's too hazardous.
What's that?
Hazardous means full of hazard, danger. The suffix us means full of.
And you said Uncle Louie was tired.
What about him?
Well, does that mean he's full of pie?
No, it means religious. But that's beside the point. Let's get back to sugar.
I thought we ain't got none.
Ah, but we will have.
Ah, wow.
Snooks, you've seen me at work in this lab of mine, and it's true, I've failed in some of my ideas,
mm-hmm.
but I never give up. Chemistry has always interested me. I love to think.
I love Rose Pierre too, Daddy.
Rose Pierre? I said Cooper.
Oh, I thought you...
Never mind what...
Don't you want to hear what I'm doing?
Yes, Daddy.
Very well. Snooks, I'm making sugar.
Huh?
I'm making sugar. What do you suppose I'm making it from?
Rubber?
No. Rubber's even harder to get than sugar.
Then why don't you make rubber?
What good would it do to put two lumps of rubber in your coffee?
It's just as good as putting sugar ties on your car.
One has nothing to do with the other.
Why?
I'll invent rubber later. Right now, I'm inventing sugar. But the point is, what am I making it from?
Don't you know, Daddy?
Certainly I know. You'll never believe what I'm making sugar from.
What?
Well, what's the sourest thing you can think of?
Human foot.
Where did you pick up such a terrible thing? Well, what's the second sourest thing in the world?
A lemon.
Exactly. And I can make sugar out of lemons. You see, I've invented a process for segregating the colloidal non-sugars in citric acid by neutralizing the acidity through the inversion of sucrose, resulting in a mixture of glucose and fructose, as borne out by the very simple equation C12H22O11 plus H2O equals C6, H12O6 plus C6, H12O6.
It's hilarious.
For a chemist, it's nothing at all.
Where did you learn all that, Daddy?
Well, I didn't get my degree for nothing, you know.
How much did you pay for it?
I earned it. I'm a B.S. You know what that stands for?
Mm-hmm. Big shit.
Nothing of the kind. It's Bachelor of Science. And that's what I am. I'm a Bachelor of Science.
I thought you were married.
I am married.
Why?
There are some questions even science can't answer. Well, now that I've told you what I'm doing, you can go to bed.
No, I want to see you making sugar.
Well, all right, but you mustn't disturb. Stand away from my workbench while I light the Bunsen burner.
Here's a match, Daddy.
Oh, thanks. And this match is no good, sir.
Why?
It won't light.
Yes, it will, Daddy. I tried it before I came in here.
Well, it won't light twice, silly. Oh, here, I've got it. Now, watch what I do. Pour a quantity of this lemon juice into a beaker. Then I add 12 drops of CaH2O2.
Mm-hmm.
That's lime cream.
Is it like ice cream?
No. Mm-hmm. Now, hold your nose a minute. I'm going to add some sulfur dioxide gas.
Have you got gas, Daddy?
Certainly.
Shall I bring you some bicarbonate?
It's not that kind. Hold your nose while I release this gas.
What are you going to hold?
I've got to hold this beaker.
All right. I'll hold your beaker and you hold mine.
Get away from here, Snow.
No.
This gas is dangerous. I'm going to interface a little. There.
What kind of sugar will it be?
Oh, that depends on how it crystallizes. By certain chemicals and processing, I can make either lump sugar or granulated. Right now, I'll make you some granulated sugar.
Of course, I don't like it.
Then you can lump it. Hand me that blue bottle.
What's in it, Daddy?
Phosphoric acid. You? One drop, isn't it? Careful. Ah. Now we're going to boil it over the bumpy place.
Why?
To distill off the non-sugars and leave the sucrose there. All liquids are made up of solids and gases. Take milk, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Milk is composed of 10% lactic acid, 30% protein, 20% butterfat, and 40% water.
Hmm. Is there no milk in it at all?
Altogether, it makes milk. That's the way it comes out of a test tube.
I thought it came out of a cow.
It does come out of a cow.
Why do cows have so much humane test tubes?
Cows don't have test tubes.
Then what are those things?
What? Now, this stuff is boiling. See the steam going through the retort and condensing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that stuff at the bottom of the beaker is raw sugar. Here, I'll let you taste it.
Mm. You taste it great.
Oh, what's the matter with you? It won't hurt you? You think I want to poison you?
Uh-huh.
Nonsense. Go on, taste it, sir. Now, here.
All right.
Swallow it. Uh-huh. How's that?
Uh-huh. No good. It tastes like lemon juice.
It does not.
Yes.
Well, let me see. It's a little sweet, isn't it?
No. It's sour.
I must have left something out. Where's my formula? What happened to my formula?
Let me see it, Daddy.
Oh, my formula. Where is it? I've got to meet the government man with it. Help me look.
The woman.
No. Go out and look in the back seat of my car. See if my briefcase is there. Hurry, the car's in the driveway.
I'll hurry,
Daddy. Oh, if that formula is lost, I'll kill myself. It must be in the car. Yes, I'm sure that's where I left it. Snow! Did you find it?
No.
You mean the briefcase isn't there?
Neither is the car.
What? What do you say?
I just seen a man jump in the car and drive it away.
No. Somebody stole my car.
Uh-huh.
Did you get a look at the thief?
No. But you don't have to worry, Daddy.
Why not?
I got his license number.
Oh, I'm a bum again.
Say, Meredith, tell me, what's the title of this tune? M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I.
Well, now, let's see, John. M-I... Well, that's Mississippi.
Correct. And down there in Vicksburg, a gracious hostess may be listening now. It's Mrs. Charles Willis Wilkinson. He wrote...
I'm happy to say my family has served and enjoyed Maxwell House coffee for generations. And today, we find it more delicious than ever.
Thank you, Mrs. Wilkinson. And friends, you find Maxwell House coffee gives you more for your money today in many another way. Yes, more flavor in the blend, for it's extra rich in extra flavor Highland-grown coffee.
And more flavor in the cup, of course.
That's because our special Radiant Roast process is designed to develop the full flavor of every bean. There's more freshness, too. The Maxwell House is vacuum-packed in familiar blue cans and new Jura glass jars. Both ways, roast or fresh.
Also more convenient. That is, Maxwell House comes already ground for drip, regular, or glassmaking method. I never wait for store grinding.
And for more economy, there's the thrifty 2-pound size. So tomorrow, ladies, ask for Maxwell House coffee.
Darling, you and I know the reason why the summer sky blue.
It's about time to stop for tonight, ladies and gentlemen, but we'll all be back again next Thursday evening at Maxwell House Coffee Time. Fanny Bryce as Baby Snook, Frank Morgan, who appears with us through courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, Hanley Stafford, Meredith Wilson, and his orchestra, and Harlow Wilcox. Maxwell House Coffee Time is written by Phil Rapp. Until next Thursday, then, this is John Conte saying good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House, the coffee that's always good to the last drop. What's for breakfast on a warm May morning? Toast toasty, cool milk, juicy strawberry. Can't you hear the cheers? Three cheers for the flavor, three cheers for the crunchiness of these delicious corn flakes that stay crisp longer in milk. Yes, Toast Toasties stay crisp to the last tempting spoonful in the bowl. Golden flakes of crispness. Delicious flavor, too. Don't you think Toast Toasties are the cornflakes for you? Order crisp Toast Toasties tomorrow. Program comes to you from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.